as in all seven of these epistles, not only was there a real church to which he addressed himself, but the church had conditions existing that existed in all other churches, more or less greater degree. It's also a message for all churches of all times, as set forth in the words, "Let him that hath an ear hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." There was much in this church that he commended: their works, their labors, their patience, their love. But he had something against them. They permitted a woman to teach. She called herself a prophetess. She was not a prophetess, but she so labeled herself. False teaching in the Word of God is called adultery. The worship of other gods, likewise, turning away from the true and the wholesome to the false. And this woman introduced false teaching in the church, and many were believing it. Her teaching led them astray in their daily life. God's condemnation comes upon this woman and upon those who were led astray by her teaching. He comes here to the latter part of the 23rd verse, and he calls our attention to a very startling but known truth. "I will give unto every one of you according to your works." Not for salvation, but for rewards or loss of rewards. "Unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, which have not known the deep things of Satan, as they so speak, I'll put upon you none other burden." We read in the Old Testament from the prophets the expression "burden," the burden of the Lord, the burden of the Lord, the message of the Lord, the word of the Lord. And when he says, "I'll put upon you none other burden, I'll give you no other commandment, I'll give you no other word, I've already given you all that you need. I've already given you all that I'm going to. I'll put upon you no more." In verse 25, "That which ye have already, hold fast till I come." Here's the first of three admonitions he gives to them and to you and to me. Three admonitions to govern and control our lives between now and the coming of the Lord, or our departure by death. Number one, hold fast. That which you already have, hold fast. "I'm going to put upon you no other word, no other revelation, no other visions." We need to know that today. Too many are showing up, too many are appearing, too many are manifesting themselves who claim to have a new revelation from the Lord. Hardly turn on a religious program on TV but what somebody has just seen the Lord. He's just come and talked with them. The revelation of our Lord was complete. And in the first verses of the first chapter, chapter of Hebrews, we're told in no uncertain terms that whereas in days gone by God spoke unto us through the prophets by revelation, dreams, visions, personal appearances, but in these last days, the days in which we're now living and have been living since the Lord returned to heaven, in these days He has spoken to us as Son, and we have the complete revelation of God for us in this book. Now you hold fast to that. Jude speaks of the faith once delivered to the saints. We're living under the same commandments. We're living under the same instructions. We're in the same dispensation as those to whom our Lord appeared and to whom He spoke. Now, you hold fast to this. When I used to be pastor of First Baptist Church in smaller towns, sooner or later I'd be invited to speak to the graduating class of high schools. There's one message the Lord put upon my heart I gave most of the times, drawing from the Old Testament, which the Lord says to the children of Israel, "Remove not the ancient landmarks which thy fathers have set." Now, don't turn your back on your fathers and their teachings. The ancient landmarks. Our fathers believed in the Lord God Almighty. They believe that Jesus Christ is His Son. They believed in this book, the Holy Bible, inspired of God. They believed in worshiping the Lord God Almighty. Fundamentals of the faith. This woman Jezebel came with something new. New revelations, new visions. People ran off after that. Someone said, days gone by, that newfound language or knowledge is comparable to new gained wealth. It burns till it's spent. Now he says the first thing you're to do as you await the coming of the Lord, hold fast. Back to the old ways, back to the old paths. Here it is, the Word of God, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hasn't been improved upon, cannot be improved upon. Man tries daily. Literally hundreds of so-called new translations are coming out of the Bible. They're not translations. There are very few people alive capable of translating the Scriptures. For one to be able to translate the Scripture, he has to be able to think in Hebrew and to think in Greek. And they don't do it. They look up a Greek word and then look up the English equivalent and put it down. That's no translating at all. It's no translation at all. I give you my honest conviction. God Almighty's word for His people is this King James translation. Satan has tried ever since its translation in 16 and 11 to get rid of it. And it's proven itself indestructible. The children of Israel eating manna in the wilderness, they tired of it in the form in which God gave it. So they'd take the manna and they'd fry it. And then the next day they'd boil it. And then they'd fricassee it. And then they'd bake it. And then they'd broil it. And then they'd mix it up cold. And this and that. Trying to make it palatable. There are millions, and I doubt not billions of dollars that are expended today. Man trying to make this word palpable to the people. When that's the prerogative of the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God. Read it like it is to your children. And the Holy Spirit will open it up to them. The way some people garble this and trying to present it to different age groups, you wonder that anybody understands it. But the Holy Spirit, just read it like it is. The disciples got all excited one day because little children came to hear Jesus. You know, whenever the Lord appeared, whenever the Lord spoke, there were the senior adults and there were the babes in arms. They're all there. The disciples said to the Lord, "Get these kids out of here. We can't understand. We can't hear. Get rid of these kids." They tried to get him to start a nursery, but he didn't. He said, "Suffer, permit, allow the little children to come unto me." He wasn't talking about taking a babe, helpless babe, in his arms and dragging him down to the front and pouring water on him against his will. That's not what he's talking about at all. He had nothing to do with so-called treatment of an infant. You let these children come to me, you let them listen, and you leave them alone. Now, you leave them alone. Hold fast that which thou hast. You've got the Word of God. Now hold it. Don't go running around hunting for something new. There is nothing new. Here it is. Now not only hold fast that which you already have, but keep up the fight. Maintain the conflict. Hold fast till I come. Someone said to me one day, "You, 77 years old, why don't you retire? Why don't you quit?" I told one, I said, "I forgot to read the fine print when I enlisted." After I enlisted and read the fine print, I found out I'd enlisted for the duration. For the duration. I think one of the saddest spectacles in the world today are retired preachers. They tell me, "Oh, Brother Wilson, I'm having the best time of my life." I say, "What do you mean, having the best time of your life?" "Now that I'm not under the influence of the denomination, I can preach like I want to." I said, "Shame on you for not having done it all your life." The minute you're saved, you enlist in the army of the Lord. The minute you're saved, you're an entrant in the track events. And as the track man would say, you're on the starting blocks. You're to run a race. And we're to run that race till the Lord comes. Wherefore, seeing we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, all of them around us. Wherefore, seeing we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight that doth hinder, and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience. Run with patience. I saw the other day where a man won a race 26 miles some odd. Marathon, they called it. The marathon. We're in a marathon. Not 26 miles, not 2,600, not 26 million. We're in a marathon till the Lord comes. Lay aside the sin which doth so easily beset us and let us run with patience. It's easy to get along as a Christian when you mount up on wings like eagles. It's easy when you can run like a horse. We don't have those experiences very often. Our lot is to walk day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year. Walk and not grow weary. Let us run with patience the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Maintain the conflict. Keep it up. There's no place to stop. There's no place to rest. I have read of military men being shot for going to sleep on the watch. We read in Revelation, they ran up to fall asleep in this race, lest somebody come and steal our garments and we're left naked, and thereby enter into heaven without any good works whatever. Maintain the conflict. Keep Christ's works to the end. Do the works of Christ to the end. What are the works of Christ? We find them described in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Works of gold, silver, and precious stone. Those are the works of God. Those are the works of God. Works of gold are those works which point to the sovereignty of God, the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do those works that will honor God. Why do you do the things for the Lord, supposedly, to be seen of man? For your own convenience and profit, or to bring honor and glory to the Lord? Works of silver are works of redemption. Silver is the price, the silver coin, the price of redemption. And works of redemption are to be found in the commission of our Lord, where he said, go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. That's a work of silver. The work of silver. You are here in this city at this time for the particular business of seeing that the story of redemption goes out to the ends of the earth. Precious stones, in the language of the Scripture, each believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is a precious stone being built up into an habitation for the Lord. Those who, through your influence, through your direct testimony, cause others to think of the Lord and turn to Him, are the precious stones. Those are the works of Christ. He died for the sins of the whole world. He gave Himself to redeem a lost world. That's His work. Your work and my work, keeping up His work. Pray for the lost. Pray for those whom God puts upon your heart. Witness to them as the opportunity presents itself. Now he says, to him that overcometh, to the victor, to him that wins the race, to him that is conqueror in the contest, I'm going to give certain things. The Lord's coming back. He is coming back. He is coming back. We're to be ready. His coming will be sudden. His coming will be unexpected. The Lord brings to my experience, to my memory and experience of Admiral Byrd, which teaches one of the most dramatic lessons of preparedness on the part of human beings that I have ever read. In his exploration of the South, the Antarctic, and his seeking the South Pole, he'd taken his men with him as far as he dared to take them and risk their lives, but he had to go farther, and he was going to make that trip by himself, which he did. Miles upon miles, going by himself on toward the South Pole. He told the men, he said, "I don't know when I will return, but I'll not return until just before the freeze sets in. I'll be back just before the freeze sets in. And when I come back, I want you here on the wharf, packed, ready to go. Suppose you don't come that day. Then you unpack, pitch your tents, spend the night, get up the next morning, strike your tents, you pack, get ready." Day after day, and day after day, those men went through that process. Getting ready for the day, then putting everything aside for the night. Nobody knows how tiresome it got, but they waited, ready. And one day they heard him in his boat as he came. And he pulled up to the dock and they threw everything on board and got on and took out. And history records that the water froze back of them as they left. But they were ready. They were ready when he came. And we're to be ready. He's coming. John Wesley, mighty man of God, asked on one occasion, "Mr. Wesley, what would you do today if you knew the Lord was coming during the day sometime?" He said, "I would get up and saddle my horse, and I'd go on down here and see so-and-so and tell them about the Lord, and then I'd go over here or something." The point was, he lived every day as if he thought the Lord were coming that day. Now, to him that overcomes, they're going to be overcomers. And there are going to be many who are overcome. Those who overcome are going to far outnumber the overcomers. Many are called. Many are saved. But just a few overcome. And just a few are called out. Now to him that overcometh. People ask the question, does it pay to be a Christian? And usually they get the answer, "Oh, yes, it pays. And if you join a church and pay your tithe, then the Lord will bless you abundantly here, and then you'll have this and you'll have that," so forth and so on. But the rewards for Christians come after the Lord returns. They're not in this lifetime. I was helped greatly several decades ago by reading from a man whom I respected and admired. And he said, that Christian worker who is not willing to wait till he gets to heaven to see his rewards has no business in the service of the Lord. We know he's faithful. And we know that if we are faithful, he'll take care of everything. There is a great day coming. The rewards, the glories, the honors of being a Christian await the return of the Lord. We need not look for them in this lifetime, though the Lord is good and gracious and blesses in spite of us. I never cease to thank the Lord every day that we're living in a day in which it rains on the just and the unjust alike. You can't tell whether a person is saved or not by the material blessing, because the Lord pours them out on the saved and lost alike. There's a day coming. There's a day coming. And to the victor, to the Christian who lives for me, to the one who serves me, to the one who seeks to honor me, I have great blessings, great rewards, great honors. Number one, he tells us when he comes back that if we continue steadfast to the end, overcome, that our salvation is made sure. Many err grievously in studying the salvation that's made secure. The eternal life which came to me through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ can be no more secure after 10 billions of years of godly living than it is now, or than it was the moment I believed. I was saved by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I was as saved then as I could ever be as far as that eternal life is concerned. But I've got a life to live for the Lord. And there's the salvation of my life. Now, the Apostle Paul tells us to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. We've got it. We've got it. We're not working to be saved. He's given us a salvation, and that's to be worked. A colored brother supposedly preaching on this one day tried to explain it to his congregation. Working out your own salvation is like working out a cotton crop. You've got to have a cotton crop first before you can work it out. You've got to have salvation before you can work it out. Now we've been saved. And we've been saved to serve. We've been saved to honor and glorify the Lord. Now, we can make our position in His coming kingdom secure. Secure. If we persevere to overcoming. If we persevere to overcoming. Ever so often we are reminded in commercials that a certain man won the decathlon in Montreal at the Olympics, excelling in 10 different athletic contests. But it took him years of faithful training, sacrifice, privation, labor, concentration, to attain a physical fitness point that he could excel. And Paul speaks of how athletes in his day and time trained and trained and trained and trained for a laurel wreath that would fade away. But you Christians, you're in a contest to the victor of which comes crowns that fade not away. The Lord, when He comes back, is going to set up a kingdom. People talk about His coming kingdom with absolutely no concept of it. He's coming back to this earth. And He's going to ascend the throne of David in the city of Jerusalem and set up a kingdom and rule and reign over this earth for 1,000 years. And to any of you and any Christians anywhere that will maintain the conflict to the end and overcome, He said, I'm going to give you a place in that kingdom. I'm going to give you a place in that kingdom. Literal kingdom, a real kingdom. we make our day for then absolutely secure. He says here in the 17th verse, 26th verse that is, in 27, I'll give you power over nations. I'll give you power over the nations. How would you like to be Emperor of Russia for a day? I started to say President of the United States, but I don't know whether there's any hope. No, I'm just joking. You know one thing? Let us never forget, God Almighty is on His throne. And everything in the universe is under His absolute control. And if you're out of tune and out of harmony with Him, His plan and program, all you've got to do is conform to His will and get in line with His plan and His program. It's good. It's good. Dr. L.S. Bauman, great teacher of prophecy, former pastor of the First Brethren Church in Long Beach and then First Brethren Church in Washington, D.C., was with us three different times in Amarillo in meetings, and every once in a while he would stop in the midst of his message and just shout out, "Rejoice, ye brethren! God is on His throne and all is well." It is. All is well. When He comes back, He's going to give certain Christians authority over certain political subdivisions. David's going to be raised from the dead to rule and reign over the house of Israel. The 12 apostles are going to be raised to rule over the 12 tribes of Israel. Certain Christians going to be elevated to positions, ruling and reign over various municipalities. And the Lord Jesus Christ Himself being the King of all the kings and the Lord of all the lords, ruling over all. To him that overcometh, to him that holds fast, to him that's not drawn aside by every new revelation, a new visionary, or a so-called prophet or prophetess that shows up. To him that's just satisfied to take that which I've given him and hold fast, I'm going to give authority and power over nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. Every once in a while I encounter a very zealous Christian today who says of certain ones in different parts, "I wish I could shake them till their teeth rattled." This is not the day for that. This is not the day. That day's coming. You rule them with a rod of iron, like a potter's vessel. A potter's vessel is one made out of clay. I started to mention something. I don't know. Anybody ever hear of a churn? Great big crock thing, you know, that to put milk in, had a dash. You could churn till the butter came. That's a big crock vessel. The picture here is someone coming up to one of those big crock vessels with a rod of iron and hitting that and breaking it to shivers, and the pieces scatter all over the area. Now, I'm going to give you that power and I'm going to give you that authority. And you can rule that nation that way. That's the day when they're going to have to be good, whether they want to or not. They're going to have to. Just as I have received from my Father. I'll give him the morning star. The morning star of the Lord Jesus Christ is the bright, shining morning star. He's also called the Son of Righteousness. I'll never forget one day when, one morning early, that morning star came to me with a new realization. I've been in some meetings close to Corpus Christi, Texas, and as I left there by plane, I left about 4 o'clock in the morning, it was dark. All I could see was when the plane took off, it just took out across the bay. And that's the first time I'd ever flown out across any water, and I was a little apprehensive. But as I looked out the window, I saw one star, the morning star, and I said, "Thank you, Lord." Settled back and enjoyed the ride on home. The bright morning star. Now, I've got him living in me in the person of the Holy Spirit of God. But here's something a little more, something a little deeper. I'll give you the morning star. The morning star is the appearance of the Lord in the heavens for his own. The morning star is seen only by those who awaken early and are out and watching. The morning star. The morning star appears a little while before the sun rises. Our Lord is described as the sun of righteousness with healing in his wings. So that we see him, you and I, who know and believe in his second coming, the morning star, when he comes and calls his own to meet him in the air while the world is asleep. But when he returns as the Son of Righteousness with healing in his wings, then the world, being awake, will become conscious of their unfitness to stand before him. Now, to him that overcometh, you're going to have a special relationship to, special fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ when he comes. Many things are going to happen that day. I can think of nothing more thrilling, satisfying, pleasing than a word of approbation. Can you imagine what it'd be like before all the redeemed of all the ages to have him put his hand on your shoulder and say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou's been faithful over a few things. A few things. I'll make you ruler over many." That day is coming. Let him that hath an ear hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. I want to read from verse 24, and with this I close. "But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine," as many as have not been led astray into some new revelation, some prophetess or false prophet, "and which have not known the deep things of Satan, I'll put upon you no other burden. You have no other commandments. You have no other from God Almighty than what is in this book." Now don't go running here and there looking for something else. It's all here. "But that which you have already, hold fast till I come. He that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. And as vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received from my Father. And I'll give him the morning star. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Thank you, Father, for this promise, these words of encouragement. So guide, so lead, so direct us. When we come to the end of our journey here, we'll not be made ashamed from thee at thy appearing. Grant, O Lord, that thy blessing and benediction rest and abide upon every person present this morning, upon their homes, their families, and their loved ones. We ask in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.